let's move towards the end of the parak. On page Reish Yud, we were talking about the fact that we were learning that the Madrega of Targum is the second shot of Maral is Targum is a Madrega of Olam Haba. And the oimek of what the Maral was saying was that there's something which is beyond speech, and Aramis is that which is beyond speech, because Aramis is not a language, and the people are not, as it says in Pasuk, they don't have a lashon, they don't have a ksav, they don't have a lashon. It means I was talking a little bit about it by the Hilula Lag Vayimer, that you see. I wanted to talk about this, but there wasn't time. I was mentioning by the Hilula that you see something in the Zohar Kodesh is that you don't see anywhere else in Chazal, such lashonis, such emotional lashonis. Rabbi Shimon and the Chevrayu, the way they spoke. Pasuk Hubacha, vai, things crying. Like everything's so extreme and emotional, like people that you say to, you felt like if you said to Rabbi Abba or to Rabbi Shimon, you said Boker Tov, like, oh, crying. So it's like Pasuk Hubacha. Come and ask Al Reish, everybody's kissing and crying. The emotions that are the effort that's being made to hold back, and the fact that Rabbi Shimon is Megala Tefach and Mechasin a million Tefachim, right? He was revealing one Tefach, but he was covering millions of Tefachim. So, you know, that I always say that they asked, you know, Tali Rapshit, so why, somebody asked him why he was so heavy. The Rebbe in the Tali Rapshit said, was heavy. So I mentioned many times in Shul that in the Tali Rapshit said, I'm heavy from the jokes that I'm not able to tell, that I'm holding inside. So I have the real good jokes, he was very funny, you know, but the real good jokes I'm careful not to say, and I'm holding in a lot of this, it makes me, you know, it's hot. The tzaddikim, especially Rabbi Shimon and tzaddikim and the Zohar Kodesh, that it's something which is beyond words. It's from a place that there's no ksav, there's no lashon, and that's why there's so much emotions, hegation, like overflowing, outpouring. So here the Maral is explaining that the malachim can't understand this language, and we have many chazals, and it's not geta halachas in Shulchan Aruch, and all four halachim of Shulchan Aruch, it's not geta halach. We're not going to go into it now. It's nageh to halachas. By the way, in Hilchos Pesach Kitzei, the other thing is nageh to halacha. That malachim don't understand Aramis, because it's a shprach, it's a language of Olam Haba. It's not Olam Haba to kill it loshen. And that is a dimension that's beyond the malach. It's only a place where Klai Yisrael is able to communicate, and Klai Yisrael is able to exist in that world which is beyond the spoken language. So that's what we were seeing. Let's just quickly review Mamish a second on Reish Yud, that paragraph. We read it, but we didn't do the Haaretz yet. So in order to do the Haaretz, let's just quickly chaz on Reish Yud. V'ayit she'ein malach ha'sharas mevinim zeh aloshen k'chazal she'ay omri yisrael she'shel tzorcha b'loshen arami ein malach ha'sharas nizkakin lo malach don't understand aramis she'ein aloshen ha'malach. They didn't pick it up in school, the malachim. They didn't have it. They had French, they had Latin, they had Greek. No, aramis they didn't have. It's amazing. They didn't take aramis. Therefore we have Shnayim Mikra, the Echad Targum. The third is Targum. Kihu Keneged Olam Haba, which is Keneged Olam Haba. She'ein Shayach L'Malochim Olam Haba. It's not Shayach to a Malach Olam Haba. Ki'im L'Yisrael, K'ma Yishu L'Yadua. V'hu Dover Mavua Bar Olam Askilim She'ein Sofik B'zeh Klal L'Mishiyadeh B'Razei Torah. Those who learn, who know the secrets of Torah, and Isbar B'Makam Acher. So let's learn 71, 72, and 73.
How do you type
maskilim
here?
How's
Maral using this?
Maskilim here means those who learn Kabbalah. That's what it means. Yeah.
Okay.
Which in modern times it meant this is the opposite. Those who don't believe in Kabbalah. The real maskilim are the ones who learn Kabbalah. 71. Hamalachim Ief Shalahem Shiiknu Malas Olam Haba. A Malach cannot acquire that Madrega of Olam Haba. A Malach cannot reach that. Shein Malachim Kinyan Maile Yoiser. Shein Nisharim Kamei Shehem Nimtsarim Bepoil. This we know from many, many places we've spoken about it in the past. The union of a Malach, the Malachim are called Oymdim Ben Mahalchim. A human being, a Jew is a Mahalach. He's moving. And because of that, a Jew is able to move Me'olam Vad Olam, from one world to another world. A Malach, on the other hand, a Malach is created, and when it's created, the Malach does not have this union of being Meitzitz Koiches El Apoil. The Malach is not activating its potential. There's no union of a malach growing and changing. So therefore the malach doesn't have this ability to move from one world to another world. The malach is who he is. And that's it. We're in footnote 71 on page Reshut. Therefore they can't be koina an additional malach to who they are. Shehem nisharim kamei shehem, kamei shehem nimtsarim bepoil. What it is what it is. That's the malach. When koinin madrega yoyse gedala, a malach can't acquire a higher madrega. Shekhar is bor beraya sichlius maiftius, shim ein hefseid ein havaya. To klal and all the moral swarm. If you can't lose, you can't gain. I guess that's how we would say it. It means much more than that. If you can't lose, if you can't descend, it means you can't descend. It means you're static, you're in one place. Ki hashalem lo yishava. Something that's created complete and it's in its completed form, so lo yishava, it can't become. It can't become because it is. So a malach is. So what's a malach supposed to become? The whole meaning of Olam Haba is what we become, what we earn, what we reach towards, what we're reaching for. A malach doesn't have such an meaning because it's created in its state of shleimus. That's what it is. That's what it is.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. The difference for this point between the Malach and the Adam is the Adam is either going this way or that way.
Right.
And the Malach starts off here and stays here.
That's it. That's exactly it. Right. He's in that place. But Olam Haba, like the word Haba, the coming world. Haba means the reason that it's only shaykh to a human being is because the life of the human being is constantly in a state of Haba. I'm on my way. I'm coming. Od ma'at. I'm on my way. It's Haba. It's not here. A malach has its mitzias, and that's its mitzias. It doesn't have something to look forward to anticipate. It doesn't have something to work towards. It is what it is. It's not a bal bechir. So it can't lose, it can't gain. We have a lot, God forbid, we could lose, but we have a merit amount that we could gain. What we could gain is Olam Haba.
But isn't Olam Haba the place where then when we get there we'll be static also?
So then there's an idea, I don't want to get into it, but isn't it Chayim, Michael, Acharel, what that means? It says, Tzadikim Ein Lahem Menucha, that even in the next world they don't have Menucha. And Chazal bring the Pasuk of Yalchum, Michael, Acharel.
So there is something in there.
There's an idea, there's movement in Olam Haba. There's movement, but the movement's on Madregas of Toiv, but there's movement. And it's the same thing with Mashiach. Because even says in the puzzle, Gemara brings the puzzle again. Shein behem chayfetz is talking about Yemais Mashiach. Where it's not a time of bechir, it's the time of schar vayin. It's not a time of bechir. So there's no bechir. So then what's there's no chayfetz. Then what's going to be when Mashiach comes with progress or improvement or working on oneself? It's a big sugya to understand what that means. That's why. You know, I've spoken about this many times, that in certain ways, we see in Chazals that Klal Yisrael is going to miss Galus. You know, it sounds crazy. We're all like that a little bit. We're all like that. You talk to somebody that, let's see, you talk to someone that, a lot of times I've spoken to students, and I've mentioned this many times in Shmuzin, that I see students of mine that they went through that difficult period that they had to fight for every Shabbos in their homes. And they had to lock themselves in their room because their parents were watching television and they had no Shabbos. They had to make their own Kiddush and they had to make their own Havdalah. And it was like, it wasn't a Shabbos. And all they were chalushing to be were like the frum, you know, to be like the regular, the frum, that they have a Shabbos table and Shabbos house. And once they get married, Baruch Hashem, and they have a Shabbos table, Shabbos house, they look back with such a gagun and say, those Shabbos, those Shabbos that I had, when I had to go like a Marano, I had kids, I had students of mine that they walked around the whole Shabbos day. They live in neighbors that are not from it all, have nobody. They couldn't stay in the house because of what's a Chil Shabbos and everything that's going on. If they stay home, the parents would want to force them to go someplace or to pick up a phone. They used to just go revolving around the whole neighborhood, making a coffee. See what it's like to be alone, to go around the neighborhood walking, sitting on a bench, can't even carry, there's no air, to go walking around 7, 8, 9 hours on the Shabbos. I had students of mine, kids, that did that for years. For years. The parents don't let them get invited out either, a lot of them. They're not allowed to go anywhere. The kids would walk around all day long. Sit on the bench, can't even take a book. Nothing. Garnish. And if there was another from person in the neighborhood, it was like, it's the way the Jews should always feel about each other, right? If there's no other from person in the world, that's how you should feel about the person. So, it's an interesting thing. Yeah. So even though when you're in that difficult kufa, when you're going through the difficult times, so you're chalishing that it should be smooth, it should be easy, it should be everything should be. But the emes is we're going to look back over galus and we're going to miss those difficult days of choices that were hard earned. Because then they're going to be different madregas of bechir, but they're madregas and taiv, and different. It's not between taiv and ra, and the satisfaction that a Jew has. The satisfaction that a Jew has making the choice of something good over something that's not good, that satisfaction is a madrega she'ein kamoh, which we're worried about. What it has to be good when Mashiach comes. Hashem's not sending Mashiach that we shouldn't have hana. But this inyan of the mesikus, the sweetness, that te'im of turning away from something that's wrong and choosing what's right. That's Mihayama from this world. That's why Yitzchak is the name that has laughter in it. The whole name of Yitzchak is what? Yitzchak Yavinu is Gvura. Gvura means that Yitzchak is the kar for a Jew to be Mizgab. To be Mizgab. So we don't usually think of that like as a cheerful undertaking. You know, his Gabras. I have often asked, on a quiz, can any of you remember like a Kotzke Nigen? There is no Kotzke Nigen. The Kotzke Nigen was just banging on the table. I'm looking. That was the Kotzke Nigen. Yeah, later on you have Bagheer. But in Kotzke, we don't know any. You can't think of any Niguna from Rav Mendel from Kotzke. Not to say that he didn't participate, but it was a pacha by the Kotzke. The Kotzke was his Gabrus on this world. His Gabrus on the world. And so why is it that Yitzchak has so much. Yitzchak's name has laughter in it? Was that the Indian of Yitzchak Avinu is the Hisgabrus, and Hisgabrus is the that te'im of the Hisgabrus is more than anything that we could even imagine. What Olam Haba is with a little bit of a te'im of Olam Haba, and therefore in Yitzchak Avinu, even though his name has it, Keitz Chai, and the end of life. And the Svar Makadeshim talk about that when a person pushes, feels that he can't go on. And then from that word comes a Tchiyah. That's why the Inyan of Yitzchak Avinu is by the Brach of Yitzchak is by Tchiyas HaMeisim. Is Luz Geshavim is the Inyan of Tchiyas HaMeisim is the Mechai Meisim Rachim Rabim is the second Brach in Shmonesrei, which is Yitzchak Avinu's Brach is Mechai Meisim Rachim Rabim. The Inyan of Yitzchak Avinu came back from the dead. Yitzchak Avinu came back from the dead. No, he was by that Keda. So the whole Inyan of Yitzchak is his Gabrus, even though a person feels that he pushes, can't go on. And from there comes out the biggest simcha of Tzchaik Osali, the biggest simcha comes from that, his Gabrus. A Malach doesn't know what that is. There are stories about Malachim laughing. That's only that, Lazarus, that's only for us to understand. But what do Malachim laugh? Malachim don't laugh. What does it mean, Bechlau? Not the whole inyan of Malachim is a big subject, but the Malach doesn't have that inyan. What is laughter? Laughter means that something wasn't supposed to be, and then oh, it is. Huh? Surprise, right? Laughing, crying. Well, it comes from that. Malach is not part of the whole inyan. Malach lives exactly what, let's see what you were saying. Malach lives in that high, but it's just a constant high. No crying, no laughing. Just it is what it is. It is what it is. That's the mouse in those few words, Shem Ein Hefseid, Ein Havaya. No? That would be something Lo Aleinu to put in the house of an Ava Lo Aleinu, next to the sign that says Hamakom, right? They have signs, Hamakom. There shouldn't be any Tzaros for Jews. But right next to the sign to put those words, Shem Ein Hefseid, Ein Havaya. And that's the whole business. If there's no loss, there's no gain. If there's no destruction, if there's no emptiness, there's no sheaf, there's no growing, no havaya, no creation. So people want to have children, even though that you know that you're bringing somebody into a world that's going to have lots of aggravation. Everybody has aggravation. So what do you want to have children? I heard people say this. Why do I need to bring a kid into the world? It's bad enough I have problems and aggravation. I have to mess somebody else up. I have people tell me all the time. I have these conversations. It's enough. Bad enough when you know for sure that this kid's going to get stuck with some lousy teachers. There's no question about it. And that's already a halbitzar. You know for sure there's going to be all kinds of stuff going on. And the kid's gonna fall off a bicycle, and this one's gonna be hurt and broken and disappointed, and yet there's such a powerful thing in us to have children, to bring more daughters into the world. to bring the shamas into the world. Because we know inside of us that the neshama of the child, in that world before this world is everything is fine, but the child cannot become. And becoming is so important to us, and we know how significant and how meaningful it is, that we're willing to go through unbelievable pain just so that we could become. And that our children should be able to become, to be able to grow. In the higher world, the child's like a malach. The child's a malach. A malach is an oymed, not a mahalach. And Hashem lo yisavah. Hashem lo yisavah. There's no yisavah. There's no reality. There's no creation. So what is it? So he says, "Lekach etz l'malochim she'ein hefsed." Since by the malochim there's no hefsed, there's no death, there's no destruction by a malach. L'shach bem havaya cheres. They don't. There's no promotion. They can't be promoted. The only reason that a person can earn a promotion is if he could botch up and get fired. He could potentially get fired. Therefore, he does a good job. He does a good job. You get a promotion. Because he could botch up, so therefore the boss appreciates it. This is somebody that didn't botch up. Not only did he not botch up, he mamish got all these new clients and he fixed up the whole place. The gevaldik, so he gets a promotion. A malach can't botch up. And a malach can't get a promotion. That's it. It's in one place. We're not going to go into that right now. Malachim, what that means, that we're malachim lahayu v'la'asid layiyu. What that means, the malach, malachim kayom hem kol yimei olam. Malachim are just here, but they didn't become, and they're not becoming. But it's something. It's not for now. There's a small sefer from Reb Tzadik, Sichas Malachi Hasharis. If you're interested to look into the Indian a little bit more, Alderach Chassidus in the current sefer Sichas Malachi Hasharis Moedik sefer, small sefer. Also, there's a sefer from Rav Reuven Margolius. You heard of Rav Reuven Margolius? Rav Reuven Margolius was the librarian. He was a librarian in Moshe Rav Kook. Librarian. He wrote the sefer Margolius Yamat Sanhedrin and many other svarim. He was a Jew that knew Kala Torah Kula Bal Peh, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Zohar, everything Bal Peh. He also wrote a parish on the Zohar Kodesh and the Tzitzei Ohr. He was a librarian. He loved svarim very much, and they say he was a terrific writer, but speaking it wasn't his inyan to be a Bal Masbir. So he was surrounded all day with svarim, and people came into the library there. Biggest yeshivas and goyim would come and talk to him and learning. He was Reuven Margolius. He wrote a sefer on Malachim on all the different levels and different daggers of Malachim. Also, Reuven Margolius was a chassid shiit.
I don't think it's in print now.
No, it's not in print. It's not in print. They're reprinting. The Meister of Kook is reprinting this from one by one over the years.
With this Malach, can you understand the other mimer called Gadol v'Chaver Yitzhar Gadol Menem? Because I always had a lot of problems with that minor, this seems to.
The greater the person, the greater, like they say, in the world, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. So the bigger the person, the more potential there is to botch up. The biggest messes in the world were made by the biggest people. The biggest tsaras, the biggest problems in the world are not made by like John Doe. The biggest problems come from the people who have murdika potential and kaitis, right? That's exactly what we're saying. It's good that you brought it up, Aaron, because that's lemaisa. In a person with a big neshama, the potential of hefsid and the stakes are much greater, right? There's much more at stake. He could be very, very great.
Why could he be so very, very bad? I mean, that part I never understood. I mean, I would say the opposite. The higher the neshama, the greater the potential, but not necessarily. The more spiritual you are, the less chance you're going to be bad.
Look. Huh? Is there a din of tumas meis by goyim? No. So in Hamad HaRaisa, right? There's no tumas meis. That's why the Gemara says Namakabel that Elionavi was Elionavi was in the basis of Kvaris, he was in a Goyish cemetery.
Right.
So Elio was a coin. So Midaraisa goyim and not Natana. A Yid is Natana. In other words, you take some Nebuch, some little Yidl, that like, you know, it didn't make much of his life. And he's Matami a Kohen. Now this Kohen can't go into the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
Because it is Yidl. So how is that possible? The Yid is Matami and a Goy is not Matami. Now the Teretz is that because of the potential of that Jew that is now lost, the vacuum that's left in the emptiness of that is a place into which Tumah creeps in.
Okay.
It's the same thing. When you have a person that has meridika kaiches and a neshama, a big neshama doesn't mean that you're a tzaddik. It means you have tremendous, tremendous potential for tzidkis. More than what's considered to be normal or regular. So because of that, if that person does not activate that need to be great, then
be very low.
The vacuum falls from a very high place. It's from a very high place. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw what was going on with the Jews fighting, he said, "Achein noida hadav." Look at Rashi. He says, "Now I know why they're in Golus for such a long time." You see, the Jews. It's explained in Kuzri and Beis Alevi, you know this one. A Yid is an under a min. We spoke about this last year. A Jew is in a different madrega, and when he's not holding by his madrega, so then the fall is a terrible fall. It's in accordance to how much potential there is. That's how much how much you can gain. Is if it's not, if you don't gain, you lose.
Rabbi said it very emphatic. Could you give us some examples of the big problems came from
Shabbat Tzvi Yimach Shema. You heard of Shabbat Tzvi?
Absolutely.
Yashke.
He was a high neshama.
Oisa Ish. Yashke.
High neshama.
Big neshamas. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh almost died trying to pull Shabbat. The Baal Shem Tov almost died trying to pull out Shabbat Tzvi's neshama from Tumah. He was already dead. Shabbat Tzvi was a big neshama. They were big people. You or I couldn't have caused such sorrows to the world, believe me. You can cause a little bit of sorrows.
Okay.
But like that, like what Yashke did, what Yashke, you think, wasn't a plain person. And Rav Kook wrote a letter about that, and all the Kanaim went crazy. They just didn't know what he was talking about. It was hard to believe. Well, they did, but they didn't want. I don't know what it was. But Rav Kook wrote, like, you know, when he wrote in a letter about, like, you know, the neshama of Yashkin, he wrote that he was a dehaven in neshama, like where he came from. So the people went nuts. How could he say that about Yashkin? He wasn't saying. He says in the same letter, which of course, you know how people only take out a little. He said in the same as a chayka, machti, rosh, marusha, mushkas. He spoke. He had all the normal healthy lashonis that we use, you know, for these things. But he said the kilkul of the person, it wasn't stam that he made such a tum in the entire world, came from Jesus, a tum for the entire world. And Shabbat Tzvi, what a tum it was that came from him. They weren't plain people, they weren't simple people. They were very, very big neshamas. And a lot of the tzaros in the world come from Yid. And Karl Marx wasn't a Jew. And Sigmund Freud wasn't a Jew. The Bilbulim are from these people. Unbelievable Bilbulim, they come from them.
But isn't that what usually says, that from that trait that you have, that the potential for godless, the same trait can bring you to the opposite?
Exactly, that's exactly it. In other words, there's a ruah wanting. The bigger the neshama, the bigger the tshuka, the bigger the cheshek, the bigger the mahalach, the bigger the movement. And a big neshama has to move. The shaila is, where you're moving. In other words, it can't stay still. There are many of the children of tzaddikim that didn't go in the right way. They had big neshamas, and they received from their parents these big neshamas, and the neshamas were forcing them to move. Some chose to move up, and others moved down. But there were big neshamas, and there's a point in mentioning names of tzaddikim, because it wouldn't bring honor to the tzaddik, and it's not necessary. But they're very, very famous tzaddikim, and there are many, many others, so we don't even know. They put the child away, and they hit, you know, whatever happened to that child happened. There were children that intermarried from big tzaddikim. So, but they weren't regular people. But they're clear, they weren't normal people. They were abnormal people.
It's the idea that these people, all their energy and all their potential is going to be used. The question is where they channel it.
Yeah, that's why they can become so destructive. That's what I'm saying.
So none of them could just stop channeling.
It's very hard for them to remain like that.
Right.
It's very, very hard for them. They could go crazy. They could become mentally, they come out mentally imbalanced.
Like Shabbat Zvi, he got his whole following and everything.
Yeah, he himself became, he was insane. He lost his mind, Shabbat Zvi. He was clearly, what's the lesson for that, when the mood changes in such violent ways?
Manic depressive,
Shabbat Zvi was. Okay.
But he affected the world for 200 years.
Huh?
He affected the world for 200 years.
There's still a Roshan. Maybe not in such an overt way. There's still a Roshan from his tomb in the world. If it wouldn't have been for him, it's a silly thing to say, because if it wouldn't have been, but because that's also part of the Ashkenaz. If it wouldn't be for him, our Yiddishkeit now would be so much more open, and we wouldn't have to be as guarded as we are, and we'd be able to. We wouldn't have to be afraid of dipping into secrets of Torah. It was still suffering from him, and he was a continuation of Yashka. And we're still suffering from him. And they brought big korban. These big people brought a big korban.
How does Rebbe mean that statement? Continuation of Yashka, same thing of redefining God.
I don't want to go into Pratimus. It's not so much fun to talk about, but it's a very, very big sugya to understand the pnimiyas, these things, not to just, you see, when someone to just cover things up and to say, you know, like, ah, he's a Rosha, to cover up, not to understand what does it mean and why is it, and it's chaval, it's a part of Torah to understand. Not to look at things in a silly way, in a superficial way. And one can appreciate the struggles of great people. Not that it's our business what people go through, but great people have great struggles. We would think from all the from all the stories that we've heard that the great people never had to struggle. And it's for sure not true. Great people had greater struggles than we have. The Chavetz Chaim, how did he become the Chavetz Chaim? So no one ever, what do we know? We don't know how he became the Chavetz Chaim. It seemed to us like he just plopped down at the earth. You know, he was already made Chavetz Chaim. We don't know how he became Chavetz Chaim. Do we understand? Had Chassam Sofer became a Chassam Sofer? We don't know what that means. So, but we know that they had to struggle to become. Since they were great people, so as we just learned that Emein Hepsed and Havaya, it must be that these great people had that much more to lose, and we have to love them and respect them even more. For how great they became, despite those things that were pulling them, despite those things that were drawing them away. And there are people that want to discredit tzaddikim, or want to say negative things about tzaddikim, and see that as part. Somebody gave me an article to read about the Sri Deish. I don't know if you know who the Sri Deish was, or Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. He was a mind that comes like once in a century. He had such a mind. He was a kolbei mamish, everything, and Torah and secular, everything. And he went through the Muhammad, he didn't have anything after the Muhammad list. He was in Switzerland. He had terrible tzaras. His swarm, Svidesha, remarkable swarm. So, it was a friend of mine gave me an article to read about, which had, now there's a whole book actually about Svidesha, but I don't have the book, but this article is talking about how, you know, the effort that's being made on the part of some to cover up who the Sri Deish really was. He was a very complicated person. He was a very and he was very, very much a part of Western society as well. He wasn't an insulated person, the Swedish. And the fact that he was in contact with reform, he had a very close friend that was a reform rabbi, different things that, you know. So I don't see that as detracting. That doesn't take away my love for the Swedish. Adrab, I feel more of a profound love for the person. Somebody with that depth and that mind, and how he had to struggle after the Holocaust and being alone, mamish alone, and what he went through. And but there are other people who are afraid, and I understand that fear. That you know, if we find out that Rav Moshe Feinstein read the newspaper, what's that going to do to our Amunah? How's that going to affect our Amunah? Rav Moshe Feinstein read the newspaper every morning by breakfast. His own children said so. He read the forward. And so he read the forward, the Allgemeine, you know, whatever. So what's that going to do for our Amunah? So there are those who are, you know, the different shitas, like, what do we do with this information? That's, of course, the whole tumult with this book that came out, you know, which is a stupid book. But, I mean, I read a few pages, and I was so excited because I got it here from, you know, it looked like it was going to be the most wonderful thing. So I bought it really for my son, for Ushi, to read. And he was reading it. I figured, what can be bad, you know, from such a person to write a book? And it's all about the Rashivas. I was so excited, and again, it was, you know, big. So I bought it for him, and then, you know, he had this sense. He came into my room, and he said, I'm not so sure you'd like me to read this stuff. He said, and I looked at it as like, you know, isn't that trash, and like yentering, like, it was, no, I'm stupid. I couldn't believe that he said, besides, it was written in such a moronic way. The whole thing was silly. So I mean, I got rid of them. And I heard now that they're expensive. You can't get them. I didn't know. I gave them to somebody. But I didn't want to keep them in the house. Not because I had problems that Rabban Cutler, you know, wrote a love letter to his caller. That doesn't take away from my respect for Rabban Cutler. That doesn't take away. But. What do you? Is that something that she would have wanted? Would you like if someone knew about the letters that you sent to you? What is it's that Irish guy? Then that takes away from there's some fakir. I remember that I used to learn over here with Rabbi Lifton and Alta Yid, Rabbi Steinberg used to learn the Karl. He was a Jew that was he was a wonderful person. He lived well into his 90s. So he used to tell us stories. He used to tell us stories, amazing stories. He didn't think they were amazing. He was just telling all the stuff that he saw. So he asked him, like, we used to ask him about different yeshivas, did you see this and that one? So he said, you know, we asked him, what about Rabban Cutler? You know Rabban Cutler? He says, Rabban? He says, from Klatsk? Like, you know, like, we're like, you know.
No.
Yeah. So he said, oh, sure. He says, I remember when I first met Rabban, he says, I came to see him, and I went into the room, and he said that Rav Aaron was playing with Rav Shneur, who was a baby. Give an idea how old this person was playing with Rav Shneur, and Rav Aaron was lying on the couch with his yarmulke like this and was throwing up Rav Shneur. So we all, like, I was there with a few brachim, when we saw this, we started like to back out of the room, and Rav Aaron called us in. He says, what's the matter? Rashi is not allowed to play with the baby, with his baby, with his child. And he said that endeared us. He said that endeared us to Rav Aaron. It didn't push us away. It endeared us to him. But the world, to misunderstand, and because of the kittenness we're living in, such unbelievable smallness. Rabbi Nachman spoke about his yisurim and his growing, his struggles. That doesn't take away our respect from Rabbi Nachman. We see the godless of a mensch. What a great person. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. These people became tzaddikim. In an atmosphere, you know, when you listen to speeches of Rabbanim, you would think that Jews never had Nisyanis until the internet. There were no Nisyanis. Like Rabbi Yaakov didn't have any Nisyanis. You know what kind of Nisyanis? You know what's going on in Lithuania before the war? What kind of Nisyanis there were, especially with the bright ones, that pulled them away with the university and with the socialists and the Zionists and the Bundists to take them away from Yiddishkeit. Right, you think it's like college now? It's in college. College doesn't mean anything now. You take a class, this and that. I mean, the atmosphere is not necessarily a good one. But in those days, it meant you were finished with the Yiddishkeit if you went. They make it sound like there were no Nisyanis then. And now they're only Nisyanis now. And we have to realize that Rav Moshe, Rav Yaakov, those tzaddikim, they became they became tzaddikim in an atmosphere where there were unbelievable nisyanos to pull them away from learning, to pull them away from greatness. And our children have to know that to become great, it means that you have to fight to become great. It means you have to struggle. And that generation was against. They had to struggle with their nisyanos. And our generation, we have to struggle with our nisyanos. So I didn't like it. I was someplace last week, I heard everyone's making speeches about there was never such a generation, there was never such a door, you know, with the television, the internet. Each generation has its nisyonis. The nisyon that they had with Russian culture, with college and those things in the beginning of the 20th century, for that generation was the same nisyon like we have with the internet. They had their nisyonis. There never was such a nisyon. You're right. If we would take the Chavetz Chaim and we put him into Midtown Manhattan, for sure the Chavetz Chaim never saw such a thing. And the Chavetz Chaim never could have imagined such a thing. But the Chavetz Chaim lefi who he was at his time, Zelu Mazeh, they have the nisyonis.
But isn't there, I'm sorry to defend them, but isn't there more of the fact that once it becomes, first it's a nisyon, then it becomes a piercing, and then it's already an accepted thing?
They had the same, whatever they had, we have that now, they had that then with Aaron Yonah. See, every generation has its. So we don't have Avodah Zarah now. And we see that in Yemei Kedem, that Avodah Zarah was an unbelievable tithing. That wasn't in the sign. It wasn't in the sign. Everybody says the television is like Avodah Zarah, the internet is like Avodah Zarah. They mamash had Avodah Zarah. We're only holding my cane. They had Avodah Zarah. And it wasn't Gilei Arayos, it wasn't Shvichas Dam. They had the Nisyanis, every generation has the Nisyanis. And when you tell kids over and over and over again, a million times, boy, there were never such Nisyanis. Are you in for it? Boy, are you in for it? You never heard of it. And the kid grows up thinking, these Nisyanis are the most impossible, and he says, there's no way to misgovern the Nisyanis. And what? And the early generations never had any Nisyanis. It's like everybody came, like it was a double poshet in Europe to be an Eilich Hayid. It wasn't a double poshet. And the different levels of Eilich Kai. And everybody has their nisyanis, and you do the best you can. You're working yourself, you do the best you can. And if the Baruch Hu put us into this generation, and we have these nisyanis, which are terrible. The television, the internet is terrible. I talk about it all the time. Of course it's terrible. There's no question about it. But that means that the Baruch Hu gave us, and put us into this world with the ability to overcome those nisyanis. And in Echanami, an earlier generation would not have been able to overcome that nisyanis. We don't know what that means. But these are our nisyanis, and it's not a mistake that it's now. Each and every one of us lives in this generation to be able to overcome these nisyanis and to deal with them and to become Elohim. And we can do it.
It's all. Everyone is Mataritz. How could this Dar bring Mashiach if none of the other Daris who had the Chavetz Chaim had?
Right.
Because we're going through what we go through.
What it means is like this. That all of these tires and all of these stories in Echanami, there's no question we're living in a time of Choshech Mechushech Kofel Mechupel, that we're living in a time where to have, when the vision is said that in that generation before Mashiach, if you see a Jew that believes in the Rabbi Shalom, the vision, you know that the vision has said this. He says that there's going to come a time, he said it before he died. And the vision, when he had these in Yonim, the vision has said there's going to come a time. And he was saying it over a little, took him a long time to say, there's going to be a time that there's going to be, if you see a Jew that he believes in Hashem, and he puts on tefillin, in those days, then he's going to be as great, and he was hesitating. And they're all sitting there waiting, and he put his hand on his beard and his payas, and he said himself, as great as me. In this generation. So what that means is that in terms of how we define somebody now, you're 100%, there's no question about it. Like when the Arizal said to Rabbi Chaim Vital that he's as great as Rabbi Akiva, if not greater. So Rabbi Chaim Vital said, Rabbi Akiva? She said that Rabbi Akiva in his generation, you in this generation. What that means is that what you and I, simple people like us, and we're trying to be, you know, good Jews, and if you measure everything, Mida Kenegan Mida, we don't equal our ancestors at all. But in terms of where we're holding with our in this generation, with our nisyonis, and the stakes on the playing level of where we are, that's our greatness. That when the tzaddikim said that in all these stories that we have, that at the end of time, the Eden. These, you know, the vision is said that even a Pashto Yid that's a Maamin at the end of time, we don't see ourselves as being like, we don't look at ourselves like that, just like the vision didn't think of himself when he compared himself to early generations as being anything. But But lefi our nisyonis, and despite the nisyonis that we're going through, so we we're playing in such an unbelievable field. So that's what all those stories mean. That even if you see a push, the yid who's a mamon who puts on tefillin, he's a murdik bal avoid. In terms of his avoida, that's why. So those Jews who were matzliach at the end of time, us, the bishar mitzvahs, are going to be sitting in the front.
With the money shoes.
Huh? With the money boots, right? So we're going to be sitting in the front, mitzvah.
Is there an idea that, you know, nowadays we have all these experiences, but we have all these wonderful things that they didn't have in?
Baruch Hashem, that's exactly true. So they weren't able to learn. What were they able to learn? I mean, except with the exception of Talmid Chacham, who was able to go to yeshiva, what they had.
More yeshivas, you
should learn. Right, yeshivas and sfarim, and to read in English and to be able to learn, it's unbelievable.
The freedom itself.
We have tremendous, tremendous access to dealing with the Nisyanis Achayim that our ancestors didn't have. If somebody grew up in the shtetl, mostly they didn't go to yeshiva, they went to yeshiva, they were 14, 13, 14, they went to work. And a girl didn't go to learn at all. So what was there when they went through the Nisyanis? What did they have? What were they armed with? What were they armed with when they had to deal with the Nisyanis? Nishkan Rashi, Nishkan Taisis, Nishkan Maral, Nishkan Mechtem Yahu. What did they have? Our girls, Baruch Hashem, when they come out of school, they come out of seminary, they're like equipped from head to toe, much more than the guys. You know, in terms of Hashkafas Achayim, the girls, like, you know, all the stuff, they come out like. So in Echanami, we're living in a world where there's a ruach ra in the world. There's a difficult ruach in the world. There's no question about it. And there's floods of apikarsis. But look what we have. That's why I told you that there's a good friend of mine. I was got it together with him this past Shabbos. I hadn't seen him in a long time. I remember. I told this to you, I think, last year, 2 years ago. I remember this friend of mine. He was learning in the Mir Yeshiva, very, very stark. And he comes from a modern home, and he wanted very much to take some philosophy classes in Queens College. He had a taiva to take some philosophy. We grew up in Queens. So his Rashid told him to go speak to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. So he drove to Muncie. He spoke to Rabbi Yaakov. And Rabbi Yaakov said to him, so go if you like them. He doesn't give me this whole big thing. So Yaakov said, okay, no, because he told me go at night, and it's really not, you know, it's not same atmosphere during the day. He was worried about, you know, with the chaimer that he's going to learn this material, and Rabbi Yaakov felt a little bit as somebody's learning and how he's holding, where he's holding, and so on. And Rabbi Yaakov said no. He said, so like my friend said, he didn't get it. Like, you know, all this stuff about what was in Europe was going to university. So Rabbi Yaakov said to him, there's no taiva for Aristotle, or like Kant, or Descartes. Like, no one has a taiva for it. It's just interesting. But when he says, when we were growing up, there was like a hashkafa zechayim that was fast. He said, the boys were being pulled out by minyanim from the yeshiva, because they were, there wasn't just something to read that's interesting. It's interesting. It wasn't just interesting. They were looking for a different way of life. You know, he said, like, you're bent tire, you're interested a little bit. He says, yeah, mostly said it's a waste of time. And then he told him, but if you have any kashas in this stuff, don't ask me, go to Rabbi Yosher Beer, as he told him. He said, I don't know this stuff. If you have kashas, ask Rabbi Yosher Beer, don't bad. That's what he told him, don't ask me, I don't know any of this stuff. That's what Rabbi Yaakov told him.
It's worth the story just for that.
Yeah. Each generation has its nisyonis, and that's why it's not. I'm sorry for taking a time. Yes, I'm answering. I answer too much, but the that's why that I. It's not so. I was reading last night a sefer from the tzaddik, the Biala Rebbe's. One of the Biala Rebbe's on the Tzio. And he was here in Queens. He came. So they put out Orchos David, a beautiful sefer from him. So yeah, he was an Odom Kodesh. They put out a sefer 2 years ago called Orchos David. And this short life thing he said the kids are. And it says over there that the tzaddik or Matisyahu, the Allah, he didn't like to talk about Shlachta Zachen. He didn't like to talk about the Taivas and the Yetzaharas and all these different things. He always spoke about Asay Taiv. He spoke much more about Asay Taiv. He said the ik is not to, he said the ik is not to think so much and talk so much about these Nyanah. Because the more you talk, the more you think about it, the more interesting it sounds. And the more fascination is generated. He says, it's better not to talk. He says, learn another block tomorrow and tell them about the mikvah. And don't talk so much about how bad, how terrible, shlach, everything shlach. He says, and that's why the inyan of the nesiyonos and how I have little, you know, it's hard for me, you know, when I talk. I was just there on the phone for a long time with a wonderful yeshiva bach who's going through a difficult inyan. So he started with me, you know, with this business with the Yeridus and the Nefilus. I said, well, do me a favor, don't use these terms, the Yeridus, Nefilus, you know. Yeridus, Nefilus, I'm going through Yeridus, like, you know, you label yourself, you know, like he puts on a t-shirt that says, I'm in a Yeridus, you know. What's the Yeridus you have today? Today is not the same as yesterday. What do you mean your Yeridus? Was it like a slump? You think you're batting in the American League or something? What is a Yeridus? So you read, yesterday wasn't a good day, so try today to learn to make brachas and not to call the girl on the phone again. But what do you mean to this whole inyan of teaching oneself up and how you read and all the nesiyonos and the musa and this and that? It's all, it doesn't make a person a better Jew. Maybe it once did, but for most people now it doesn't help. Tikkur is asay tayyiv, and tikkur is not to worry about, to think about all these nesiyonos, because to be misgarben, to be a gibber, and to go in a strong way with simchas achaim, and to move forward, to be a mahalach, and not to be afraid, to go in a way with confidence, and not to be afraid. It's possible when there's so much talk of the other side and of tumen nesiyonos and sitrachu that it frightens and it makes a person lose his. His gestalt, it makes him lose his strength, his feeling of being an ish matzliach. Every single thing, he's nervous, he's worried, he's suspicious. What's going to be? You know, and a person has to have confidence. You can't succeed in business if every single step along the way. The people who are most successful in business, not that I know anything about really business, but I heard from people who do know about these things that you have people that make certain daring things and they go ba'asei tov. But the ones who every single prop is with the unum and this and that, and they stop, like the Chavos Chaim said, that a person's, like I once told this, the person's in the middle of the Milcham and he gets a little bit of an injury and he stops and he takes out his first aid kit in the middle of the war. He's on the front and there are bullets and bombs. The guy gets nicked. So he's bleeding. So he stops, sits down, takes out his thing, stops the bands. In the meantime, they blow him to a million pieces. Chavos Chaim said, you get a little bit of an injury, you go right there. He keep on going. He gave another marshal, Chavos Chaim, once told you, I think, that Chavos Chaim said that the guy's a chenvani, he owns a store, he's standing by the cash register, some ganav comes in, reaches into the cash register, and he runs out of the store. Right? He grabs $10, he runs out of the store. The chenvani chases him down the block, the ganav's partner, of course, is standing right outside the door, goes in, empties out the whole cash register, $1,000. So Chavos Chaim said, that happens to us all the time. When does that happen to us? Sometimes you do something you shouldn't have done. So then what happens is then he says, then the sitracha comes with atz, with sadness and depression, and you go mishuga after that little ganavel. You go after that ganav, in the meantime, because of your sadness and your depression, and because you get into this whole thing, I mean, you read, in the field, gewalt, yetzar, in the meantime, they empty out the whole cash register. That's all. Because when a person is in a place of atzvus, when a person is depressed, then he leaves the store. You're out of the store. When a person, I'll tell you how my father dealt with that. My father's all gezun zayin. My father used to keep. He was all the years he had a dry cleaning business in Manhattan, and my father used to keep rolls of quarters right by his cash register. My father had, on more than one occasion, that there would come in somebody who would try to reach into the cash register. My father had, when he saw a funny-looking character walk in, my father would already hold on to one of these things. And my father went through enough things in life that he wasn't, there's nothing you could do to scare him. My father would take this thing, he would let him have, you know, just to give the per mole with a roll of quarters over someone's head, someone's, And then the police would come and clean up. It was like a known thing for Mr. Weinberger that they had this thing worked out. They would come and take him away and clean up the teeth from over the floor. I was there once when it happened. My father said, yeah, you could try, but you're not getting your hands into my cash register. That's how it goes. You have to stand guard. You have to be Eimer HaMishma. And the Indian of the Sitrachu is not the $5. The Indian of the Sitrachu is to get the whole cash register. The Sitrachu doesn't care about $5. He's smart. The Sultan tries to get you that you should be depressed and you should think all the time about the feelers and the readers and the Sionis and Gaval. It's going to be with me. And then when you're down, so then he reaches in for the whole cash register. Because then you're out of the store. You leave. You're gone. You're not there anymore. The Indian of being a Jew is to be Eimer HaMishma, not to, and if you get a patch, so you give back a patch. That's all. You get a patch, you give back a patch. And that's the whole marach of how a Jew lives in this world. It's a milchama, like the Ramchal says at the beginning. That's the whole Indian of the Nisyanis and the milchamas of this world. And not to, God forbid, to retreat, to stand there licking your wounds, abandoning yourself. 72. L'shaynei b'nesiv ha'avayda, parak yir aleph. Ha'malochim eini mechayim l'shabeach. The Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. Malachim, angels can't say Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba. That's also why that's Naramis. Rak Yisrael, only Yib. Hashem Malachim Megiyah Ad Olam Haba. You see, because the Madrega of a Jew is that he's moving. He has an Olam Haba. There's a coming world. He's on his way. Hu Olam Ha'Elyayim. And that's why he says, Uba Olam Haba, Malach Yisrael Al HaMalachim. And in that Olam Haba, the mile of a Jew is above that of a Malach. That's why a Jew can say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, and a Malach doesn't even know what he's talking about. Because Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, La'olam La'olam Elamaya is talking about Olam Haba, La'olam La'olam Elamaya, and a Malach doesn't chap. That means La'olam La'olam Elamaya. Umuchak Yakein Shehine Hisborakan Shirak Bem Tzos Atzelam Elokim. That is through that Tzelem Elokim, a person is able to reach a Madrega of Olam Haba. V'gam kvar nizbor she'en l'malochim Tzelem Elokim. A Malach doesn't have a Tzelem Elokim. Tzelem Elokim is the ticket. Is the ticket to get to Olam Haba. Tzelem Elokim. To be in God's image. A Malach doesn't have that. And the Mela, Baruhu she'en l'malochim v'chelik v'olam haba. Ki im ein Tzelem Olam Haba minay. If there's no Tzelem, if there's no Tzelem, then there's no Olam Haba. Ve'eila halam. 73. V'derech Chayim, Perek Hay, Mishnah Chav Beis. V'zeh L'shem. This is, I think, Perek Hay is this week's Perek, no? Perek Yavis? I think this Shabbos is Perek Hay. V'zeh L'shem Hashem. The Moral writes over there. Ki yesh l'teirish tei b'chinis. There are two b'chinis, there are two aspects to Torah. The Torah was given for us in this world. For this world. And as far as the Torah relates to this world, it was given in Lashon HaKodesh. That's according to the way we're learning now tomorrow. Lashon HaKodesh. This world was created with Hebrew. With Lashon HaKodesh. With the Oasis of the Aleph Beis, and with Lashon HaKodesh. Vayar Melekim, is given Lashon HaKodesh. The Asar Mamaris, the 10 utterances were in Lashon HaKodesh. Avim Yitzad, Shad, Tarihim, Olam Ha'el, Yoyim. You see the moral holds in the Shita all over. The first way is not what he holds in all the Svarim. He holds like this way. He says that Mitzad, that the Torah is what is my Olam Ha'el, Yoyim, that the Torah is from that exalted Olam Ha'el, Yoyim. He belosh in Targum. That's in Targum, that's in Aramis. That's the meaning of Shnai Mikra, as we learned. Again, there are two aspects of Torah. So that Madrega of Torah, the Torah is Me'olam Ha'alyon, the Torah comes from that, from the high, the Torah is from the higher world. Sar Sheyikra Kol Pasuk Shleisha Pamim, Keneged Olam HaTachna, Keneged Olam HaMtzoy, Keneged Olam HaElyon. There are three dimensions. The Mara writes about this in all of the Svarim. That means the lower world, and then what's called the middle level of existence, with Malachim and so on, and then there's the higher level of existence, which is Olam Haba. V'ashlishi Keneged Olam HaElyon. And the third time that we read corresponds to Targum, which is Targum, Echad Targum, which is the Olam HaElyon, which is Olam Haba. And there's Zeh Maimer. Hafeich Bo, V'hafeich Bo, the Kula Bo. And the Maral explains the parak, the mission in this week's parak, that when it says hafach ba, turn the Torah inside out, around and around and around, the kulaba, everything's in the Torah, right? Everything's in the Torah. So that's, he says, Malash Narami. Yeah? So Maral says a gewaldige thing. All of a sudden, the Mishnah starts talking in Aramis. Hafach ba the kulava. Instead of saying it in Hebrew. Kilakach kulava. B'nei shatarihim ha'olam ha'alyim. What does it mean the Torah has everything? That everythingness about the Torah is because it's not of this world. It means it's everything. And that's why that is Dafka said in Aramis. Because that Madrega of Torah is a Madrega of Olam Haba, which is the Kulaba. And the Kulaba is not of this world. Lekach Kulaba. It can only be Kulaba like Hashem is Baruch is Kulaba. Because why? Because he's not bound to this physical world. So the Torah is, that aspect of Torah, which is Kulaba, has to be said in Aramis. Half of the Kulaba. Not in Lashna Kardesh. V'chein kol ha-Talmud chibur b'Lashna Rami. And the Talmud, the Torah Shabbat, which encompasses everything, it's the Kulaba, it's in Aramis, Aramaic. V'davka Talmud, avol Mishnayis in Lashna Kardesh. Mishnayis, which is not Kulaba. Mishnayis isn't Lashna Kardesh. V'zev neki ha-Talmud hu levar mishpatei ha-Torah. It's kevaldigli, what are you saying? The Indian of the Talmud is what? To be mavara, to clarify all the mishpatim, all the laws of the Torah. Ulavayar, ulavar, ech kula nimsebetar, to show how every single thing in the world, in the universe, is in the Torah. You don't see that from Mishnah, you see that from the Gemara. And then we spoke about the Zohar Kodesh, right? So that's for sure going to be all Aramis. V'dobiz av nekab Torah, himi oylem ha'elyayim. Ulakacha kol huva Torah. V'talmud himaylas ha'Torah befrat. The Talmud is what shows that Kulaba is in the Talmud, not in the Mishnayos. Of course it's hidden in the Mishnah, and it's hidden in the Mikra too, in the Psukim. But where it's spoken out, the Kulaba is in Torah Shabbal Peh, is in Talmud. Lekachi b'Loshna Rami. That's why the Talmud is in Loshna Rami. Ubu'ula yisul odam, she'en svori shi'a targum k'neged oylem ha'alyim. So you might want to ask, and this, that maybe what the targum is, why should targum be in such a madrega? That targum is Lashna Kodesh, we know Lashna Kodesh is the holiest, so what's targum? But v'hu ein nefshav l'loshen, but that's the pshat, we already learned, so we know already, Baruch Hashem, the answer to that. Hai, Aramis is not even considered to be a loshen, so we learn. Haloidov is the enakash, ki zeu ha'gorim ki ha'ilam hazeh niver b'Lashna Kodesh. This world was created with Lashna Kodesh. Ulechach Lashna Kodesh Mar Olam Hazeh. And therefore Lashna Kodesh is the language of Olam Hazeh, this world. Bilo Atargum Ein Olam Hazeh. It's something, it's not of this world. Lefichach Lashna Targum. She'en Shaykh Olam Hazeh. And Neizeh Atzmei Ein HaMalochim Levin Lashna. Therefore they can't understand. She'en HaLashna Hazeh Hu Mechlal Seder Olam Hazeh. Because it's not part of the Seder of this world, Aramis. Udvarm el dvarm gidolim hem uburim hem, great and tremendous matters. There's the armam la'olim yishalish odin pashiyas of shnai mikra vechatargim. That's why we have to say shnai mikra vechatargim. The chem mikra, and that's also in three levels. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. Same thing. Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud. We're moving what? He says, Avenis dvarm hail, ki la'olim ashlishi ublashin targim. So we have mikra, which of course is this world, which is lashon ha'kodesh, Hashem, which is the Torah, Hashem gave to the Torah, created the world. That's mikra, lashon ha'kodesh. Then you have the middle level of existence, which is the case of the Malachim. It's also still a Bechina of Lashon HaKodesh, but it's deeper in Ramazim. But then you have what? That's the Mishnah. That's Mishnayis, which is Lashon HaKodesh still. But it's already more Pratim. And then when you fly out of the world to the highest Madrega, which is Talmud, so that's already in Aramis. That's Lashon Targum. Ki Lo'el Mashlish of Lashon Targum. Ki Mikra Mishnah of Lashon HaKodesh. Ki Talmud of Lashon Targum. V'chein Kosev Yitzor B'Nesiv HaVoida. Urei Lahalon. Oidah Shemisos HaShore B'Kiva. Remuzah B'Lashon Arami. V'chein Hu Lahalon. We're going to talk more about that. It's a gewaldige ha'ori here. This from Derech Haim. If you have a Derech Haim, you'll enjoy it on Shabbos to look in Pirkei Avos.